If you would join me in prayer and let's pray for this sermon. God, we thank you so much for your word and your spirit that both teach us how to live our life, how to live and walk through this Christian journey, and how to help others do the very same. And we are thankful for that, and we don't want to take it lightly, Lord. We want to take advantage of all that you have for us. Help us to understand more and more. Help us to grow more and more. Help us to love and understand love and following you and our relationship with you, and help us to be a huge light in this world. And in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Before I start, I'd read a tweet this morning, and it said, "He knows when you are sleeping, he knows when you're awake, but he's going to keep on preaching. It's his job, for goodness sake." Thought that was pretty good. Investments is the title for today. Keith found out about that, and he said, "What's in your wallet?" Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's good. I want to start with some interesting things, though. I want to start with some battle eve speeches. As military groups are gathered around their commander and in hopes of this speech that's going to motivate them to go into their battle with courage, I want to read some of the famous ones that we've had in our history. Eisenhower said on D-Day, he said, "You are about to embark upon the great crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you." His colonel, and I wanted to quote this one too, it's short, but his colonel, Colonel Sink, wrote letters to the men waiting to launch on D-Day, and the letter started like this: "Tonight is the night of nights." Has anybody ever heard that? Kennedy said this: "The cost of freedom is always high, but Americans have always paid it. And one path we shall never choose, and that is the path of surrender or submission." Yeah, should kind of get you going, right? President Whitmore said in Independence Day, just as we were about to fly off with the Air Force and Will Smith, and he said this. It happened, I saw it on TV. "We will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive." Aragorn said this as he gathered his army together to battle the Dark Gate: "A day may come when the courage of men fails, when we forsake our friends and break all our bonds of fellowship, but it is not this day." Okay. William Wallace said, as he gathered his Scottish and Irish clans together, he said, "You've come to fight as free men, and free men you are. But what will you do without freedom? Will you fight? I fight and you might die. Run and you'll live, at least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all of the days from this day to that? For one chance, aye, just for one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom." I have one more to read for you. No, this one's from the Bible, so it's okay. Somebody's like, "Oh, great, he's going to read another one. When do we get some spiritual stuff?" Deuteronomy 20, verses 1 through 7. Here's another inspirational speech given by God to the Israelites. God was speaking to some of the generals and leaders of the military and told them to give this speech to them before they go off into battle. And I want to read this. Deuteronomy 20, verse 1. "When you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, who brought you up from the land of Egypt is with you. When you are approaching the battle, the priest shall come near and speak to the people. He shall say to them, "Hear, O Israel, you are approaching the battle against your enemies today. Do not be faint-hearted. Do not be afraid or panic or tremble before them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you." Hallelujah. How about that for a speech? Isn't that a great speech? Yeah, that's an awesome speech. I love that. And I was reading that this week, and I know some it was in part of our plan, so a couple of us talked about this. And I needed that day. I was just in a place, you know, you get in that place and God's like, "Come on now, I've got you." And I had this speech read for me through the Bible, right? So I read that and I'm like, man, I needed that today. That's awesome. But you want to keep on reading because you got to get it all in context, right? All right. Verse 5, "The officers also shall speak to the people, saying, 'Who is the man that has built a new house and has not dedicated it? Let him depart and return to his house. Otherwise, he might die in battle and another man would dedicate it.'" Wait, what? Verse 6, "Who is the man that has planted a vineyard and has not begun to use its fruit? Let him depart and return to his house. Otherwise, he might die in the battle and another man would get to eat his fruit. And who is the man that is engaged to a woman and has not married her? Let him depart and return to his house. Otherwise, he might die in the battle, and another man would marry her." Well, this motivational speech just took a turn. I could see a couple of soldiers in the back lean into each other and said, "Wait a second. So don't be afraid. Don't panic, don't tremble, don't worry about it. God is with you, but some of you ain't going to make it. Some of you might die. But don't be afraid." So then, now this intrigued me, and I kept this in my spirit for a while, and I thought, man, there's something in this speech needs to make a little bit more sense to me. What am I missing, God? Because we have this great speech, don't be afraid, God is with you. But if you've built a new house or planted a vineyard or just got married, we don't want you to go on home because we don't want you to die. It seemed a little dark. And it was interesting to me. And I got to praying about it and thinking about it. And I thought, well, God, I can't talk about that story to the church people. I'm trying to lift them up. We're trying to build up here. We're trying to edify. That just seems dark. And God said, why does it seem dark to you? And we talked about it a little bit. It begins to seem dark because of what I put value on as opposed to what God puts value on. His perspective is so different than ours. It's great news. God is like, what else do you want? This is great. Obviously, God has a different definition, an alternative definition to life than we do, an eternal perspective. See, as humans, we have a tendency to put a high value on our physical existence, sometimes above our spiritual existence. God, on the other hand, is the other way around. The important part of this speech was not, hey, everybody's going to live, don't worry about it. God's going to take care of this and everybody's going to be fine. No injuries, no blood spilled, nothing. Now, it may happen like that on a few battles. It did happen like that. But on this particular battle, after that speech, that wasn't the point of it. The point was, God is with you. God is fighting your battle, and God will save you. Don't be afraid. Some of you in this battle may not make it through, And if that's the case, then saved or salvation must have a different definition than what we initially put with it. It reminds me of the verse in John 10:10 when Jesus says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly." Now, there's a part of me in my younger days that loved to read this and think about how God has promised me such a great life on this earth. That's what I want to grab a hold of. Get a hold of your faith and have a great life on earth. This is going to be an abundant life. I don't think that's the life that God was talking about there. I don't think that's the life that Jesus was talking about. You see, they already had life. I mean, they were breathing and eating and sleeping and going about their time before Jesus came. But they didn't have spiritual life like Jesus brought to them. And besides, in James 4:14, we read, "Life is but a vapor, appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away." Why would God make such a huge sacrifice for such small returns as a vapor? So this life, there must be a something. There must be a difference. Let's take a look at God's perspective on life. Let's read a couple. In Luke 12:22, Jesus said to his disciples, "For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing." John 6:63, and I'm going to hit just four scriptures right here to give us a good rounded out picture of life from God's perspective. John 6:63 says, "It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." John 16:33, one of my favorite scriptures. "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer," or take courage, "I have overcome the world." Now, along with that scripture, I want to read John 17:15, kind of in the same speech. "I do not ask you to take," this is when Jesus is praying to his Father God, "I don't ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. So in the world you will have tribulation." I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. I'm not asking you, Father, to take them out of tribulation. I'm asking you to keep them from the evil one. Abundant life. The goal is not to eliminate troubles or eliminate tribulation. The goal is a confidence and a peace to endure, and the certainty of our eternal future because of the closeness of God. God said, "I'll be with you." That's the blessing. Notice the perspective that we see here God displaying for what life is, an eternal perspective, far greater than the temporary. So that means that we have basically two existences, right? We have a physical existence here on this earth. We have a spiritual existence. One is very temporary, and one is very eternal. And I believe that God began to teach me about the importance of balancing these two existences. Where are our investments going? What are we investing in? Our time, our money, our actions, and our thoughts. This life, you see, so we have these two existences. This life is important and it's beneficial. It's actually during this, our physical existence, that we make the choice to serve God, to love God, to have a relationship with Him, or ignore Him. Just like in the Garden of Eden, God gave them a choice, because you can't love somebody if you're a robot. So there's a choice. He gave them a choice. "Just obey me, I'm going to take care of you, but only eat from the tree of life. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." But he gave them that choice. because that's what love does. They chose to disobey. So it's in this life that we make that decision. There's another thing that we do in this life that is important, and that's to influence others to also make that decision. Right? We use this time on earth, our physical existence, even though it's not as important as our eternal existence, it actually might even dictate what happens in our spiritual existence when we get to heaven, right? 3 John 1:2. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. I don't ever want to say that there's not an importance in your physical existence or your life. There is. This is your one shot to do a few things that's going to impact your eternity. So this is very important life. But I think God is teaching us about balancing the investments that we make in our physical life and in our spiritual life. Like this, we make investments in our spiritual life, and we make investments in our physical life, okay? And it's two areas, and it's regardless of if we realize it or not. If you think about it, if you know it, if you do, whether you know it or not, you're making investments in your existences, your physical and your spiritual existence. Luke 12:34 says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And treasure isn't like a chest, like you're a pirate. Arr. Don't be messing with me booty or me treasure. Treasure is what you hold dear to you. That's where your heart is. Treasure is where you make your most investments. That's where your treasure is. Jesus was a perfect example for this lesson. Because Jesus walked and lived and operated in the supernatural at all times. But none of that would have done any good. Think about this. None of that would have done any good or been any benefit to anybody if he did not invest in the people around him. If he hermited himself up on the mountain the whole 33 years that he was here, it would be a far different story. Jesus didn't conform himself to the world, but he certainly inserted himself right smack dab in the middle of it. Right? He invested in the people around him. We read scriptures many times that talks about how Jesus would get off by himself to pray, to talk to God. Sometimes the Bible makes us think that he had to sneak off away from people early in the morning because they'd had to go find him. Where did Jesus go? I don't know. He's all praying again. Check the mountain. You know, and they would have to go find him. We also see Jesus in the temple, in the streets, at the wells, at wedding parties, at people's houses, investing in people and investing in God. He had these two existences, and he had the perfect balance. He invested enough in his spiritual existence that he could then actually make an impact, an important investment in the physical existence to the people around him. 1 Timothy 6:18-19. Says, instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that life which is indeed. I like that phrase, that life which is indeed. This life, questionable. Right? That should be 2020's motto. Questionable. Who knows? I can't tell you how many times I've heard people, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what we're going to do. you can't believe the news, you can't believe the social media, you can't believe anything that what the newspaper, what do you believe? I don't know. Questionable. This life, questionable. That life that God's talking about here is indeed. It is very factual. So we have investing in our existences. It's kind of like Christmas. I know that there's been people that have been out of shape because of trees or us worshiping Santa and things like that. It's just once a year. Listen, that, and you can do whatever you want. If you want to tell your kids that there's no Santa, that's fine. It doesn't matter. If you want to tell your kids that there is a Santa, that's even better. No, no. It's fine, too. Either way, it's fine, too. You be you, boo, right? You do what you want to do. But we have this, we have decorations, we have Santas, we have presents, we have shopping, we have these parties. Now, and all of that is fine. None of that is bad unless it becomes out of balance. We inadvertently become so focused, busy, distracted with this physical existence, with this time of year when we're supposed to be celebrating the birth of our Savior, that we leave out the spiritual and we invest more time in the physical in Christmas than we do in the spiritual. Right? We have parties, let's see, parties, presents, shopping, events in church. All right, we have sports, family prayer at mealtime. You get the gist, right? We have to be careful of the balance, because here's another danger. Guess which one of these becomes more important to me? Which one gets the most attention of my everyday? The thing that I invest the most in gets the most focus. Because I have more to lose. This is heavier. It's weightier in my life than this is. And that's why we have to be careful about where we are placing our focus and where we are placing our investments. Because this is very, very temporary. We don't even know for sure how temporary this is. This thing could break today. Not gonna, but it could. Right? But that is going to last forever. That's important. They're both important. Making sure those things are both important in your life. They both have value, but they both need balance. You can't get your physical existence over balance with the spiritual existence. Even in our anxious times, here's what I've realized too. When we get anxious and scared about stuff, let's say that you've sold your house and you have 2 weeks to get out of it. And you're trusting in God the first week and a half and that's fine. Now you've got 3 days. Oh, my goodness sakes. I trust you, Lord, but I'm going to take care of this now. These stressful and anxious times that we begin to go through do a couple of things to us if we're not careful. Even our spiritual activities begin to be dictated by our circumstances. When I have my Bible reading time, I'm reading my Bible, but always in the back of my mind, I'm like, what are we going to do now? What, God, how are you going to fix this situation? God, how do I afford this? I'm trying to read my Bible. And then I go to prayer. I go to my prayer time, and I realize that all of my prayer time is about my circumstance that is so frustrating to me. I have now allowed my physical existence, my circumstances, to now dictate the process of my spiritual journey. And that's backwards. That's off balance. Amen? There's nothing wrong about praying for your circumstances, but when your circumstances dictate your spiritual process, balance is off. Where are we investing the most of our time, our thoughts, our money, and our actions? 1 Timothy 4:8 says, For bodily discipline is only of little profit. It's profitable, but it's little. Probably compared to the next part of the verse, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise of the present life and also for the life to come. This causes, when we get this thought process in our minds and in our lives, this causes our Christianity to filter into more of our lives than just Sunday church. It causes Christianity to filter into more of our lives because we now have to take time to invest in our spiritual bodies. And one of the things that I want to do in 2021, I believe God is directing us to engage with each other in small groups, whether it be at homes, whether it be at Starbucks, right? Or wherever you want to go. Engage with each other. We cannot walk through this Christian journey alone. You're not supposed to anyway. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens. We don't even find out about each other's burdens unless we find time to get together in small groups. Because it's hard to unload a burden when there's 20 of you. So I'm encouraging all of us, and me too, to get ready to focus a little bit on this next year in small groups so that we can be more communal. We can help each other. We can bear one another's burdens. We can share one another's burdens. This helps us balance our investments when we do this. It keeps in mind our proper perspective. Matthew 6:19-20. Turn here and mark this scripture with me. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So my challenge to you is this. During this season of distractions and busyness, nothing wrong with any of that, but take account of your investments. Where are you investing the most of your time, your money, your thoughts, and your actions, your service? And especially during this time of anxiety and uncertainty because of a pandemic, invest the most into your spiritual existence, because everything else, bottom line, is temporary. Where you invest your most time, money, thoughts, and actions, where you invest the most is a reflection of your priorities. All of these other things may be fine, but only if there's a balance in the investments, and that balance favors your spiritual walk with God. Matthew 6:31. And we'll get into prayer time here in a minute. And I'm just going to have Ryan play some music from back there for a bit. Matthew 6:31-34. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But here's what you do. Verse 33. Here's the deal. Seek first his kingdom. That word kingdom comes from a Greek word basileia. It means divine rule. It's the rule of God. It's the will of God. Seek the will of God in your life. We're not talking about a big thing like God wants you to be the next Billy Graham. It could be that God wants you to smile at someone at Walmart today and say, hey, God loves you. Or maybe he wants you to pay for someone's groceries. Or maybe he wants you to help someone on the side of the road that you saw. Seek first the will of God. Then all these other things will be added to you. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. What's in your wallet? You see, here's the deal. I know what's in your wallet. Exactly what you put it there. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Will you stand with me, please? I want to challenge you and myself this week to be conscious of the investments that we make. Because whether you think about it or not, you're making investments in either your physical life or your spiritual life. We have two existences. Make sure that they are properly balanced.